Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben. I write some videos here at our website.
And I'm Scott. I'm the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
Yeah, Scott, I got to tell you, I love the "and." I think it sounds good.
Yeah, I try.
Kind of flows.
Yeah, I try.
Hey, man, so let's just go ahead and get this out here. I hope it's not a pet peeve. I know that a lot of people ask you for advice, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's definitely not a pet peeve.
Okay, so they ask, and just to be clear, they tend to ask you for advice about cars, right?
Oh, vehicles. I thought you were going to say relationship advice, things
life
like that.
Life advice.
Life advice, yeah. Money advice, because I'm so good with money.
Scott has a romance advice column in our internal newspaper.
That's right, in the Dear Abby of HowStuffWorks.
Yeah, Dear Scotty.
Yeah, sure. No. As you can imagine, a lot of people come to me and ask me, my radiator is on the fritz. Where should I go for this? I live in Gwinnett County.
Right.
Where do I go? Short answer, I don't know, because I'm not from Gwinnett County. But
there you go.
But honestly, that's one way that I find the best local mechanics is by asking around.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth is the number one way for somebody to find a reasonable, reputable, honest mechanic, somebody that can get the job done and do it the right way the first time. That's what's really important.
And I guess we should explain to our listeners who are in such a hurry to hear this episode that they didn't see the title. We are trying to answer or help you answer the age-old question, how do I find an honest mechanic?
That's right. And one thing that I want to point out before we go too much further into this is that this isn't meant to offend anybody that is a mechanic by saying
that. Let me check that off. Yeah. I was going to say that too.
It's not that everybody's out to get everybody else. And,
right.
We understand that, things happen and there's exceptions to everything that we talk about here, okay?
Mm.
So I've met many, many honest, reputable mechanics over the years. And I've also met some pretty bad ones that are definitely on the take.
Really?
Yes, definitely.
Wow.
Definitely. And I've heard tales of others from friends and family members, that have had some issues in the past with local shops. So, there's examples of each type out there.
And the good thing, though, I think you're absolutely right. There are examples, as with any other profession, mm-hmm. But one thing that I think is great about an honest mechanic, a consistent mechanic, is that they have to take so much time to build their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that reputation is something that you earn. And maybe sometimes a lot of people who are customers make it seem like a mechanic is bad, but we might not be getting the whole story.
No, that's really what it's all about. It's the reputation that they build over the years. It's mm-hmm. something, when you start out with a new shop, mm-hmm. It's got to be difficult to get people in there unless it's, of course, word of mouth. You get people to come in. So you treat the customers well. You do the work the right, at a fair and reasonable rate. And, you do the work the right way the first time.
Yeah.
Over the years, your name builds as somebody that's trustworthy, reputable, that, people would care to bring their prized possession into, to have, even simple repairs or major repairs done. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so we've got our definite first step, and probably it's a very common step. You ask someone that whose opinion you trust.
Yeah.
For a recommendation.
Yeah.
And, logically, though, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in here.
Sure.
All right. Logically, though, they can't give me, let's say hypothetically, they can't give me good advice, even though I trust you and I come to you to ask for, let's say, if you have any recommendations for a good place to get my transmission looked at.
Mm-hmm.
But I own a very, I own an import vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I own a Scorpio. Remember those?
Wow, yeah. Okay. Very good.
So I just dropping references. So all right, so I own a Scorpio and you're like, gee, Ben, I don't know if I can really tell you what to do with this.
No, but what you do in that case, then you find somebody that has a similar vehicle in the area, maybe you can join a local chat group or something online mm-hmm. and find, maybe an owner, like an enthusiast group.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they've got recommendations for good mechanics, or they'll probably tell you how to fix it yourself, really.
Yeah.
I was guessing, and then able to do that type of thing over the years. But honestly, you know, I talk to people with a similar type of vehicle. The same type of vehicle. And if not, find a service shop that specializes in that type of vehicle. And that's the best way to go. I mean, just find somebody that is hands-on with that vehicle ahead of time so yours isn't the first one they've seen come through the door. That's pretty important, I think.
And we're getting to a very important part of this, too, which I know some people think this is going too far.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you know, I do try to work on my own car. Mm-hmm. I am a little protective of it, I admit. Not to an unhealthy degree, but I am protective enough to the point that when I bring a car into a mechanic's shop, I kind of stake them out for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting there all day in the car being creepy, but I drive by. I look around. I see if there are other cars there.
That's not unusual. A lot of people do that. You get kind of a general feel for the shop just by, you know, do you see the cars parked out in the lot for a month and a half?
Yep.
Do you see them parked out there for a day and then they're gone or 3 days or whatever? That's reasonable. But if you see, you know, you can tell a lot, you know, just by your kind of gut reaction, I guess, to a shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make no bones about it that, you know, that gut feeling is something that you should, you know, pay attention to.
I love that you said make no bones about it. I'm going to try to say that in conversation to a mechanic. Like, make no bones about this, my friend. I'm a man who knows his brake pads.
You're 70 years old, right? Yeah.
I should have a disguise. Also, you know, talking about the mechanics, though, it's not a bad idea to go into the shop and see also what kind of business credentials they have, right?
True. Yeah.
Because that's a big thing.
And credentials, we're talking about certificates, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you're talking about mechanic training certification, right?
Right.
Okay. So one big thing that I think that they need to display, mm-hmm. this is my own personal opinion, but I think a lot of people will agree, look for current ASC certifications that are posted on the walls.
And that would be the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence.
Fantastic. Good work. The important thing about this is that you make sure that they're current, because you know you might find a certificate that's been posted up there for 7 years and it expired last year, 2 years ago, and they leave that up on the wall. Just take a look if you're in the waiting room. You know, check them out because they're usually framed or they're posted somewhere on a bulletin board or something like that. Because that's something to be proud of. That's it's a difficult certificate to earn. And there's a reason for that, you know, that it's a great course. It's you know, wide-reaching. You definitely want your mechanics to be ASC certified and then also have specialty areas, you know, patches. You'll see them on their uniforms.
Sure.
But don't just look for patches. Look for certificates. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like maybe transmission service, alternators, or electrical service.
Right.
You want master technicians in certain areas to be handling your car, not just somebody that decided they could do it one weekend.
Now, I am, you know, a lot of my formative years were spent in the dirty south of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I am familiar with there are some places you can go there where you will get some great work done by some guy.
You know what?
And you got to pay cash.
I know what you're talking about. And you've gone to those places, right?
Yeah. I've been to there.
And,
I've been there.
And you've probably had some success with that, right?
I have had some success. I never went. I think I went for a side mirror to get a side mirror back on,
okay.
Which was more of a body shop thing. But this guy did that. He was like, "And I changed your oil too."
Oh, reasonable, right?
Yeah, but that's therein is the problem, Scott, because this kind of stuff is hit and miss. If these people don't, you know, it worked out for me this time.
Yeah.
Or that time, who's to say what would have
You know
happened?
What? I've got a thing about this that I think that, you know, you look at new shops, you know, relatively recent motor shops, automotive shops rather, and they're like, you know, surgically clean. The bays are very, very clean.
Sanitized.
Exactly. Yeah. They're extremely clean. There's no greasy handprints on the walls. There's not a lot of, you know, just clutter laying around that they have to clear to put things down. Then there's the other type where, you know, it's a dirt lot. And you pull in, and you know it's dark inside the garage, except they've got one trouble bulb that they hang over the engine. It's greasy. There's just you know a pile of greasy parts on the workbench.
The vending machine.
They look like they've been there for 50 years. The problem with judging it by that though is that some of those those mechanics have decades of experience oftentimes.
Yes.
And they're very, very good at what they do. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Mm-hmm. The problem is when you talk about cleanliness issues, if you want to go for, you know, internal engine work, would you trust your engine being opened up in an environment like that? Would you more trust it in an environment where, you know, there's not hardly a speck of dust anywhere around? Mm-hmm. I would prefer the latter, but some people say, you know, I would only go to this guy for my, you know, to have the crankshaft serviced, mm-hmm. Polished or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it's hit and miss. You got, and that comes right back to word of mouth. But if these guys have been around for 50 years, 40 years, whatever, doing work, of course they're going to know their stuff. They're going to know what to do. They know all the tricks. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, oftentimes they're the best ones to do the job. But they have this environment that doesn't appear to be, you know, up to date. And, you know, well, it isn't. It's not up to date. It's not modern.
Right.
Maybe not the cleanest place, but they do great work.
And just like I see the place, I feel like we've gone to the same place where the vending machine
well,
is in the 70s or something.
Thousands of them around. Thousands of them around. And, you know, of course, I can't believe it, but they're starting to go away.
Because, which is just a shame.
Yeah, I really do think so. I mean, they're starting to be less and less of that type of shop around and more of the, you know, the giant shops, you know, like, I don't know, the Penske Centers and
sure.
the, not to pick on anybody, but the, you know, the Sears Centers and the Pep Boys and things like that. One thing that I noted, I found a few lists of how to find a good mechanic, right? If you search just how to find a good mechanic or an honest mechanic.
Yes.
Some of these lists are all about cleanliness.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I found one that this is really weird, and I'll quickly go through this list if you want.
Before you do this, mm-hmm. I want to say I am skeptical about what they're going to say about cleanliness because here's the deal, buddy. A lot of times those people who are fixing those vehicles, their shop is dirty mm-hmm. because they're spending all their time fixing vehicles.
I've had entire engines replaced and, you know, suspension work and everything in a warehouse down in Detroit. You drive through gravel, you know, then there's a dirt lot, and then mm-hmm. you have to park outside where all the dogs are barking
and
at you.
Do that special knock.
Precisely.
Slit on the door open.
Precisely. Now, it's a friend, but, you know, he's down in a dangerous area in Detroit, and he's got a motorsports shop.
Uh-huh.
And I had him replace my engine, but he has this great big area where his father does fabrication work.
Mm.
He does, you know, the engine work and suspension and,
you know,
all that.
You mentioned this guy.
Yeah, fantastic work. I mean, I really, for a long time when I had a certain type of car, I had a CRX, a Honda CRX.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have gone anywhere else with that car except to his shop, only out of necessity if I had to go somewhere else. But I chose to go to him because, you know, that was where I felt I got the best work done. And the environment wasn't anything spectacular. It had no, you know, shiny exterior and a big sign outside or anything. It was none of that. It was very dirty. And I mean, inside it was nice, you know, reasonable, not super clean or anything. But,
sure.
You know, just a good working environment. And I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
So, but it's not like one of those half mechanic, half coroner.
Not like the Guatemala thing. Yeah, no.
But okay, so we're on the same page here, kind of. I want to hear about this cleanliness.
All right. Well, this is a list. This is a short list that had to do all. You know, everything was about cleanliness and how the business presents itself. Okay.
Okay.
So this is giving you. This is kind of the first opinion of the shop, I think.
Hmm.
And this goes into the gut feeling. Like, should I be here or should I just get an estimate and scram?
Is the bow tie on the cashier's tuxedo askew?
Yeah, this is kind of like that, okay? I mean, it starts out with the parking lot.
Really?
It says, is the parking lot clean and neat? How important is that to getting your car repaired?
I got to tell you, if it's a good shop, I don't care.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
I'll be paying more attention, much more attention to the cars that are parked there.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Next one. How about the windows and posters that are hanging in the shop? Are they new or have they been advertising that big sale for a long time? That's and I'm reading from these lists, by the way.
Oh, okay.
But or the posters, have they been there so long that they're sun faded and just old and kind of falling apart?
They're talking about they're maybe talking about chain places. For chain places, I would say that's
so.
A good point.
I think so.
Other than that, skip to number three, man.
Well, see, they send you those things every month to update, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
well, for a chain place, but for like a independent store, you know, a lot of times they'll just have whatever the promo material that the same, like, let's say someone sells Interstate batteries.
Ah, true.
They'll just have, of course, it'll be sun faded because they've been selling those batteries for 40 years.
True. I understand. But are they saying that they're on sale this week only?
You are right about that.
And it's been up for 2.5 months?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right.
I can see.
All right.
Point.
I'm going to quickly go through the rest
of these,
okay?
Because I've got
a much better list that I want to get to here. A couple of them, actually. Okay. Signs outside, or the bulbs burn out, things like that. Is it generally, you know, ragged, unkempt? Is the grass long? That type of thing. If you can see into the service bays, what do they look like? Is the floor clean, or is it covered with rags and oil and, you know, that sawdust stuff they put down? What about tools they just left laying around? Old tires, things like that. And the walls. That's one thing that I mentioned earlier, the walls. Mm-hmm. Have they got just dirty handprints from guys leaning against them and, you know, piles of rags laying against them? Do the mechanics have well-kept uniforms, or are they wearing grubby clothes from home? Now, that's something interesting.
That's an interesting point.
Are they with it enough that they have mechanic uniforms that are expected to be clean every day? That's something, I guess.
That's a lot of cleaning.
I know it. How about when you go inside? Is it clean inside, you know, the waiting area? Are the displays neat and informative? Or are they dusty and falling apart? Okay, that goes back to the signs and things like that, I guess. But see, this list is kind of funny.
It is.
There's a little something to this.
Who made this list?
How about this? Look at the customer lounge. Do you feel welcome and willing to take a seat?
Oh, right. Okay. Fair enough.
I've been in a place where, you know, I'm sitting next to the owner's dog. The owner's blind dog that lays on the carpet all day.
I feel like that is a plus. I love animals.
I'll tell you about this guy later. Anyways, it's not a story for the air. I can't use the can't use the language that would be required
describe
Scott
this guy. And Ben, the director.
That's right. Yeah. And then the next thing is take a look at the bathroom. Is it clean in the bathroom? Now, come on. I don't know about this. There's something to this cleanliness thing, mm-hmm. but this may be taking it a little bit over the top.
It might be a bit myopic. There are other things that can help you figure out if your mechanic is trustworthy.
All right. Okay. Do you have any, or do you want me to go with my other couple of lists here?
I'll just, you know what, while we're both doing our paper shuffle, I'll say one thing that's a pretty good point, actually. The Better Business Bureau. The old Triple B boys.
Oh, very good, yeah.
If you are getting, now I know this might sound a little bit compulsive, and we know I have no sense of moderation, so that's a fair criticism, but if you are getting an extensive amount of work on your vehicle, and when I say extensive, I mean to the point where you're going to lose it for a few days, you're going to be spending more than a grand or something.
Sure.
It is so worth your time to call the Better Business Bureau and ask them, hey, are there any complaints on file about, you know, Scott Benjamin Auto Service? Because that's all the Triple B folks sit around, you know, they're waiting for someone to ask them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's exactly what they're there for. And another thing that you want to look for is, are they accredited by the American Automobile Association? That's AAA. So you want to find out if AAA also backs them. Mm-hmm. And if they do, in addition to the Better Business Bureau and, you know, not having anything that looks like be a red flag for you, I'd say you can make a reasonable assumption that that shop is one that you should use.
Yeah.
Given everything else, you know, that we'll talk about too.
And then there's the there's some great sites on the internet where you can have – I'm just assuming that everyone who's listening to us has the internet.
Yeah.
So there's some great places where people who have patronized a business will come in and say good or bad things about it.
Oh, you know what? You're talking about something almost like Yelp would be for.
Right.
I don't know if that even covers auto mechanics, does it? It may.
It does cover.
Oh, it does.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I know that's good for restaurants and, you know, other
businesses.
It's
mostly restaurants, but there's some hit and miss for any business.
All right. There's another one I'll list here at the end. I've got it in my notes somewhere, but I've used it in the past.
Do you get that next list?
I do. I've got a couple here, and
blast off.
I'll just quickly go through them. But a lot of them are. Hey, you know, before I do this,
what's up?
I get sidetracked all the time. I want to mention something that when my wife goes in to get a repair done, she claims that she gets different service than I get at a repair shop. It could be the same place. She claims that you know, they're asking her about additional services, and they just almost pester her for
try to upsell.
Exactly, they try to upsell her, and I think they're preying on her the idea that maybe she doesn't know as much about cars as I do. And I think it's just a broad generalization. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there that, you know, anybody can write it in and tell us, you know, if they feel this way or not. But like when she goes to get an oil change, okay. Let's say she goes to a quick oil change place. They're trying to sell her an engine flush, a trans flush, a coolant mm-hmm. flush. They're telling her that her wiper blades are bad, which they do to me too, but they really push it.
Air filter.
Air filters, of course. They show her the air filter, and it's always, you know, this is terrible. You got to get this out of here. It's not so bad, really. They try to get her to rotate her tire. Endless list of things, right?
Yeah.
If I say no to something,
they just keep going.
No, if I say no, they stop.
No, that's what I mean. They keep going down the list.
Because they
come out with a list.
No, yeah, well, me, I mean, typically they can just, I don't know if something about me or what, but I just say, like, no, blades are fine, and they relatively leave me alone. They don't bug me about the flushes and all that. I guess they think I know when it's time for that. I don't know.
This is a really, actually, let's talk about this. We're going to go back to the subject here in a second, but I want to co-sign with you. This is a great idea for a podcast. I think our colleagues, Kristen and Molly, at mm-hmm. Stuff Mom Never Told You, would probably have fun doing this. And I think we could too, because it's a good question. Do mechanics treat women differently? Do they treat, I guess, genders differently? And how can they tell if you do or do not know about cars? Because don't get me wrong, Scott. I've had people try to run game on me before, yeah. And to be able to say, you know, really, the air filter, it needs to get out of there now, huh?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, put it back. I will see you later. Do not charge me. You know, and usually if you are just polite but firm, you know, we always hear that rule, polite but firm, it'll work. But I have had, you know, my mother has told me that she oftentimes will have to deal with this just unnecessary, not harassment, but very insistent.
Yes.
You know, yep. And almost condescending, which
yeah.
Yeah,
I've had a former girlfriend tell me that one shop tried to tell her that she had summer air in her tires and she needed to change it over to winter air in her tires.
What?
Yeah.
What kind
yeah.
of ridiculous.
You know what? I know, and I know it sounds funny. They were probably just having fun, you know, just joking around. I don't think that this really would have ever come to anything. But uh-huh. I said, of course you don't have to change the air in your tires. I mean, you have to adjust them accordingly.
What kind of ridiculous.
You know, the air pressure needs to be adjusted correctly. But no, you don't have to change the air in your tires. And I mean, it's just things like that are kind of funny. It's like, and she thought it was serious. You know, they're probably having a good laugh about it.
Sure.
But, you know, that's too bad that type of thing happens.
Well, there's, you know, there is a great segue to something real. Oh, wait, I'm skipping list. Come on, bring it up.
All right. I'll bring the list. I'll do it relatively quickly, okay?
All right.
Some of these, and I've got two of them here. I want to go, okay, I'll just read them off. First one is ask around. We talked about that already,
yep.
Right? Okay. Neatness counts. We talked about that.
Also.
Specialties. That's a good one. We did mention it, but briefly, just make sure that they service your type of car in particular. If you have a German car, go to a place that services German cars.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise with, you know, Japanese car, et cetera,
Italian
American
car.
Cars, whatever. Yeah. Or if they have a specialty like BMW, Honda, whatever mm-hmm. it happens to be. Here's a good one. Ask questions. Remember that you have the right to ask questions about any of this, and remember that if they describe it to you in a way that you don't understand it, ask them again. You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know if I know what that means. Just tell me what it means in simple terms. Okay.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of looking stupid.
No, because you're buying their service. Okay.
Yeah.
You're paying a lot of money to them,
mm-hmm.
and if they're telling you that you need a valve job and you don't know what that really means, then ask what a valve job means. And
break it down to me.
What does that involve and how much? Yeah, exactly. Break it down. Okay. Be prepared. So make sure that your mechanic gives you a lot of detail about what's going on. So you know that, you know, it's going to be 3 days before your car is done. And know roughly what the symptoms of your car. So you know if something's related.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's just a lot to this be prepared. That's kind of a loaded.
It's an umbrella term.
Exactly. It's an umbrella. Patience. That's another one that, you know. I understand it could take a few days. They can't
sure.
diagnose it right away.
Mm-hmm.
It may take them a day to diagnose it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not all that unusual. You know, if they're calling around trying to figure out what's going on, test driving it, you know, checking it out,
yeah.
hooking it up to the machine, whatever they need to do. Another one is know the shop's policies. So make sure that you upfront understand what they charge for an estimate.
What they charge for labor.
Oh, that's a big one. Labor, parts.
Parts.
Make sure that you know what the parts charge would be. Make sure that you know that, you know, if they do an estimate on the vehicle, is that amount then taken off of the final bill?
Yeah. What are the hours of the shop?
Yeah.
If they do the work one day and you can't get back to pick up the car, are they going to charge you?
Exactly. For another day of parked on the lot, you know, maybe $30 or $50 or something like that. Another thing is that under when they're talking about their warranty.
Yes.
Does it cover both parts and labor? Because that is huge.
Ah.
I know. Because if it covers the parts, like, okay, the part broke, but bring it back in and we'll do that $800 job again. And it's only going to cost you $650 this time.
Yeah.
Because the parts were $150 last time.
Yeah.
That is really, really important to understand, is to cover parts and labor.
Mm-hmm. And also, just to point out, unless if you have a vehicle that has a warranty from the manufacturer,
mm-hmm.
unless you're around a big stinker of a dealership, it's good to go to the dealership if you have a warranty.
Sure. Oh, yeah, of course.
So those will be like your default mechanics if you're lucky enough to have a warranty.
Exactly. And then beyond warranty, it's wide open to you. If you choose to go to the dealer, that's mm-hmm. fine. If you don't, that's fine as well.
Just interjecting. So.
No, it's a good point. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Start small.
And oh, yeah. Put your toes in the water.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
This is, you know, taking in for something really minor. If you want to just kind of get the feel for the mechanic, how the person mm-hmm. deals with the, you know, the customers, just make sure that, you know, it's the place that you want to go when you do need something big. Mm-hmm. Because here's the problem. When you do need something big and your car is, you know, stuck on the side of the highway,
yeah.
or your car is at home that, you know, you can't get out of the garage, where are you going to have it towed to? Mm-hmm. Are you going to choose that shop? I mean, you know, I guess really without experiencing what it's been, you know, what it's like.
Yeah.
If you have familiarity with them and you have it towed to them, they're already familiar with your car. They know you.
Mm-hmm.
There's more of a chance that, you know, you'll have a better feel for how they're going to do the big job if you have them do a small job to begin with. Like this one mentions tire rotation or maybe just a real simple brake job, something like that.
Or you need to get a tire patched or something.
Yeah.
Just it gives you a chance to see how the place works.
Yeah.
I got to add one here just to make – if I steal your thunder, I apologize. But this is important. We need to have it on here. Any honest mechanic will not have a problem with you looking at the parts that they took out of your car.
Correct.
So – and that's not at all rude for you to ask.
No.
And they should not be offended. I mean, of course, unless you ask in a weird way.
You know what? I don't know how it is here in Georgia, but in Michigan, you're allowed to have those parts. There's some law that says that I don't know how it's phrased, but you're able to take the old part with you when you leave the shop. If it's reasonable, if it's not, you know, the engine block or the transmission
sure.
or whatever it is. But if let's say that you've got a bad alternator.
You can take that with you.
Yeah, that's right. You can take your alternator in the box in the back seat of your car or whatever home with you if you want. And that way, I guess you could have it checked out and see if it truly was bad or, you know, I don't know what the purpose is behind that really, I guess, just to assure that it's not the same alternator in your car that was in there when you brought it in.
Nice one. And, you know, those are the kind of things I call those bad apple stories because mm-hmm. every honest mechanic just, I'm sure, hates hearing about this stuff because they're thinking, oh, my God, now I have to deal with everyone thinking that I am just putting used vehicle parts in their stuff.
Yeah,
and
true.
I don't know. I want also, did you know, incidentally, there is allegedly a law somewhere in Michigan whereby a husband owns his wife's hair. I'm serious.
Really?
I had this book, Weird Laws. I was thinking about this when I read it earlier.
That was unexpected.
It's probably like a state law that is either not followed or...
Really?
You know, yeah. Seriously.
No kidding. Okay.
But
styling issues and things or length or what?
Who knows, dude?
That's a crazy law.
It's a crazy state. It's like... It's two peninsulas.
It is. It's shaped like a mitten. It's crazy.
That's like my favorite part. So, yeah, that's a great point that they shouldn't have a problem with you looking.
No. Looking at the old parts. I've asked many, many times to look at the old part. Let's say I have a clutch that's gone out.
Yeah.
And I asked to look at the part. They say, well, we've never seen anything like this. Here, come here and take a look at it. They're almost proud to show you, like, look at this thing. It broke in three places.
I think every honest mechanic will be completely fine with the following statement. If someone does a job for you, if a mechanic does like a brake job or something, and you ask if you can see the brakes, and they tell you that you cannot, then that is a red flag.
It is, yeah.
I'm not going to say it means they're dishonest.
They may have already thrown them on a giant pile out in back of brake rotors,
right,
or something like that.
Quite possible.
And that's something. I understand that. That happens, you know, that they didn't know that you wanted to see them, or they didn't know that you wanted to see the bad catalytic converter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of rare that somebody would ask to see that. You know, they would just know that it works again because everything's working fine on the car. But
right. But
if you do ask to see it, there's a chance that they've thrown it on a huge pile of other scrap parts.
Right. So it doesn't mean they're dishonest if they say, look, we don't know where it
no,
is.
No, that's not the case at all. But if let's say it's something that they're going to repair or replace, and you ask to see it and they just outright say no. Like, no, we don't, that's not our policy. We don't let you do that.
Right. Remember we said earlier, be familiar with the store's policy.
You may want to check somewhere.
Because I don't think you would find that in writing.
You know, I've got one more thing, but yeah. I want to mention one quick thing is that you also need to watch out for – boy, there's so much here.
There's a lot.
There's also the chance that there may be a little bill padding going on.
This is a touchy issue.
Okay,
touchy.
Because if they're adding, you know, they may give you a cut rate on, you know, the parts.
Sure.
They may say that, you know, we can get this done in 5 hours or whatever.
And I'll give you the parts at a little bit above cost.
Exactly.
Or something.
Exactly. But if they start adding in labor hours, and you got to remember that labor hours are about $60 to $80 per hour. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this can add up quickly.
Yeah.
And especially on a big job, it's relatively easy to add a couple of extra hours in there to make up for some of the other things, or just to make, you know, profit. And understandably, they need to make a profit, okay?
Sure, they're business.
They're in business to make money, right? But don't be afraid to ask. This comes up right back to it. Don't be afraid to ask questions about how much labor it really did take. I mean, you know, sometimes it's understandable that there's extra labor involved. You know, there was a cross member here that we needed to remove. And that's the kind of thing you want to find out. Like, why did it take you 7 hours to remove the radiator. Now, I mean, that's a bad instance because that's
easy. Well, like, we have to – maybe something inside the electronic system, right? The computer system of the vehicle.
Okay, I had a timing belt replaced on my Audi.
Okay.
Okay, long time ago. And the labor was just – incredible on this thing. I said, well, I mean, I know it's expensive to get to.
Yeah.
I know it's a tough one to do. It's a big job, right? But I found out that for the particular type of car that I had, the A4, you had to tear the whole front end off of the car and work your way like from the bumper back to the timing belt. So when you look at your car, it's really like the wheels and the engine, and that's it on the front end. And, of course, the fenders. But the whole front end is gone on the car. And you understand then this is not something I could have done home. This does take 4 hours to get to this part. I understand now.
That's
okay, so just don't be afraid to ask. Because I went down, it happened to be close by, and they said, you can come down and look at it if you want. And I said, of course I'll come down and look at it. So I drove two or three blocks down or had a ride or whatever and checked it out. And, yeah, it's a big job. So don't be afraid. And they don't feel bad to show you that because they're showing you what they do.
They shouldn't. That would be weird.
That's part of the detail bill thing, you know, just making sure that you're getting what you're paying for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing that I want to mention here is make sure you do your homework when you're buying or when you're checking for around town or you know, asking friends or whatever you're doing. Just make sure that you do your homework on this thing. You understand about what that repair should cost. You know the mechanic that you want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You've had friends that have gone to this place and said, you know, it's reasonable. You feel that it's, you know, a nice clean place that you want to go or, you know, or it's a dirty place you want to go. Just be comfortable with where you're going and know that, you know, you can ask all these questions. You can get a detailed bill or you should.
Mm-hmm.
Just be comfortable with where you go and make sure that you know all this up front.
And I'm going to go ahead and bring us out with a little piece of, I won't necessarily say it's sage advice, but this is just street smarts. If you don't know somebody and you're paying them to do something, agree on a price beforehand.
Ah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. Say, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, right, about asking questions, of course, mm-hmm. which is our common narrative. But there's you're sort of asking for trouble if you don't ask for a price beforehand. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of understood, it should be understood, that there may be more charges, there may be a larger charge for labor, right?
Yes.
Depending on what happens. But the difference, and it could be hundreds of dollars different.
It could be.
If you don't ask them how much it costs before.
Yeah, and have you ever had anybody that you've taken a car to a shop and it's something minor? You've got a little oil leak, sure. You want them to check it out? And they take it in the back and they say, well, let's take a look at what's going on here. And, you know, just have a seat and we'll check it out.
And they're like, whoa,
well,
this is terrible.
I'm going to say something different. I'm going to say that this happens rarely, but it does happen. You take it in and, you know, they say, well, we'll take a look at it. And then they realize that it's just the drain plug that's leaking. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they either replace the gasket that's on that or they replace the actual bolt that goes into the pan. And, you know, you're thinking it's a big repair, but it's just this. And it's like, well, when they get it back, it's like, it's all taken care of. And you say, well, what do you mean? You know, I didn't even really authorize anything, but they did this. You know, they repaired, they put the new drain plug mm-hmm. in with the new gasket. And I'd say, like, well, we didn't really talk about it. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. We just put in a new plug. It's free.
That's a good mechanic.
And just, you know, think of us when you're having something done in the future.
That's an honest mechanic.
That happens occasionally. It's happened to me a few times with some minor stuff like that.
It's happened to me a couple times.
Good. See, it does happen. It really does. And I know there's some tire shops that'll do tire patches
like
that.
Yeah, they'll patch or plug your
tire.
Yeah,
and just say, you know what, it's free. Next time, just come back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally if you go to a gas station or something, it might be $8 or whatever. But mm-hmm. they just want your return business, and they know how to do that by, you know, gaining your favor by saying, you know, like, oh, these guys are reasonable. They didn't even charge me that last time.
Yeah, which is excellent.
It's a great tactic.
I don't know if it's true, man, because it comes from an unverified source, that source being one of my uncles. But he tells me that the way he tests a mechanic is he goes and it's like, take a look at, you know, some system that he knows is functioning fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the brakes, you know, but the brakes are fine.
Sneaky.
Yeah, and then, well, the thing is, they're mechanics, so if you bring in the brakes are absolutely fine, you know, that's suspicious, but maybe there's something else on the car.
Yeah.
So he says that he has had people come back and tell him to his face that they need to change the pads and the rotors or mm-hmm. something. But he's had other people come back and say, your brakes are fine, but you really need to flush your transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of says that he judges them by their counter offer.
Oh, I see.
By what else is wrong.
Gotcha.
Or something.
So, well, what if they agree that the brakes are terrible? Then you're definitely not going there.
I don't think he's ever agreed.
Never encountered that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, one last thing. If you're all done, I got one thing that
I'm
I want to mention
done.
Here because I've used this many times, and this is the site that I was telling you about how you can gauge.
Oh, sorry.
You can gauge if what you're paying is worthy, as worth what mm-hmm. what it should be.
You showed me this site, and it changed my life as a car owner.
It honestly does. It really does. And I use this often.
Mm-hmm.
It's called RepairPal, RepairPal.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, simple as that. What it does is it's not a referral service or anything like that, although I think you can find local mechanics through the site.
Say the name one more time.
RepairPal.com. Okay, and it's probably the best place to go to get what I call a ballpark estimate on a mm-hmm. repair, because let's say that you need tie rod ends done on your car. Okay, you're able to go in and input your material for your specific car. You input your location via, I think it's a zip code, right?
Yeah, it's zip code.
And so it gives you, and then it pools all this data that you know from mechanics and mm-hmm. and individuals that have reported what it costs. For dealership service and for local, you know, smaller repair shop type mechanics, right?
Boom.
Gives you this, exactly, yeah. It gives you this range where it should cost. Here's the high end of the price. Here's the low end of the price. And, you know, it should fall within that range. If it's dramatically on one end or the other, there's something up.
I really, you know, I want to thank you on air for that site because you actually gave that to me earlier.
Well,
and I got to use it.
I didn't found it or anything, but yeah, it's definitely this RepairPal is a extremely useful tool, and I use it often. And you said you've used it in the past.
Yep.
Oh, good.
Well, that's a great place for us to end. on the internet, which brings me to a point our listeners may be familiar with. Scott, we are on Facebook at CarStuff. We're on Twitter at CarStuff. Let's see, we've got a blog. And if you're already looking for RepairPal.com and you've got a question about anything automotive, why not visit our website, HowStuffWorks.com? And this is the part where we say the email address if you have any other questions.
Yep, and that is CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.